Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent the hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame and never take no wooden nickels when they all change. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming.
The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume and it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Breeze told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stun. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right. Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin City Jr. Welcome, family. Welcome. Peace, power, and love as always. And welcome my family from India, Germany, Nigeria, Canada, and the States. Thanks, y'all, for tuning in once again. I am coming to you live, actually not out of the truck. I'm actually stationary in Dallas tonight, able to bring you the show. Actually not on the go this week. But nonetheless, thanks to all my listening family, like I say, from India, Germany, Nigeria, my brothers and sisters in Canada, as well as here in the States. Also want to thank my Activate Radio family, where this show is rebroadcast every Friday on that platform out of Boston, Massachusetts. Want to thank you for once again welcoming me into the fold, Brother Patrick. Thank you for that opportunity just to get the word out on another platform. And also, let me give a shout out to my theme song guy, Throwboy Mike, who allowed me to use that theme song for this particular show, and it's just a perfect fit. I always like to give shout outs and all of that where they are due. And we just got to support one another also in that arena. All right. I'm going to get off into tonight's topic. And before I do that, you know, I'm going to give a brief little old just set the table and then allow the listeners comment. If you are listening online and would like to get in on tonight's conversation, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, that's 914-205-5538. You all know my format. I generally give a little brief commentary on, you know, my topic and what I want to lay out on the table for tonight's devouring or intaking. I'll keep saying it that way, just to intake the information, you know, and then not only intaking of the information, I think that it's important that I had some sisters on a few weeks back, and it's just important for us as black men, black women with our platforms to intermingle and to, you know, I just feel like we should bring each other's platforms to each other's forefront, if you're understanding what I'm saying, because we've all got so much work to do, and it's important that we have the discussions. I was doing a live earlier, and I just stated that, you know, without the discussions, we can't plan, we can't organize, we can't unify. We've got to be able to converse in order to bring about the necessary changes that we long to see, you know, and I'm not the only one I know that has this yearning for our condition to better, you know, and brings me into our topic. And the topic tonight I want to discuss, MLK, of course, it is his day. And I made a statement earlier that, you know, we as a people, we don't have to just give him that day. We can give MLK a season. We need to give our ancestors a season where we truly intake what they did. You know, we really soak up what it was that they did, what it was they went through, what it was that they sacrificed. And when you think about MLK, and I made this statement plain and clear because not everybody approached the fight the same, but there was effectiveness in everyone's approach. And what the system started seeing was Malcolm starting to take a closer look at Martin's way of doing it, and Martin was taking a closer way to looking at the way Malcolm was doing it, because towards the end, I think they really kind of flip-flopped. Martin became more radical. He became more demanding of the money, having something that is beneficial. He noticed how this system was mechanizing these farms that they were giving to their own kind throughout the Midwest. So those were things that he was starting to change his direction on. And if you really pay attention to Martin's last few months alive, he became, like I say, more radical in his talk and his approach, more demanding of the money. I always say this, that we can reparate ourselves. And y'all understand this. I'm not discounting what the system owes us, but what I am wanting us to be able to count on is each other, because we need each other out here now more than ever. I keep saying this on my lives. I'm going to keep saying this during my podcast because I want this to sink in subliminally that we need each other. And with Martin's approach, you know, let's just take the peaceful approach that he took. And not only that he took, that was ignored and still managed to get him assassinated. Now, that's why I named this show MLK. I want to get his legend and his legacy established before I dig into the second portion of this, which is the American hypocrisy. Because, see, America really didn't love Malcolm until he was assassinated. And then once he was silenced, then the system jumped all over it. And then, too, we all know that his mother was assassinated as well. I just can't call that anything else but that, especially the whole way that it happened. And another thing about that, you know, is the irony and just how they will hide things, because I never knew that his mother was assassinated until I was grown. And those are things, like I say, we as a people have to stay on top of and keep spreading the information. And that's why it's important for us to talk amongst each other and work amongst each other and put aside the pettiness, because what we need to be concerned about is black first. Period. Point blank. Black first. If it's not black first, miss me with it. If it's not about our youth, our changing our conditions and you know, working and coming together with the resources that we already have. And like I say, you know, I'm not discounting what we deserve, because, yeah, we do deserve a lot more than what we have gotten and what we will get, at least from this system. Now, that's why I say we need each other, because we've got to start learning to work with one another, putting the pettiness aside and thinking about the bigger picture, period. It's really time for us to think about the big picture, and no pun intended. I sometimes think that we overlook, we get so comfortable that we overlook the condition as if the condition has changed. Conditions don't change until you make them change. And the reason I say that is to say that we have got to be forceful in what it is we want. And some things we can do, like I always use this example, and this is a perfect day to do it, like with the Montgomery boycott. 381 days they sacrificed, but within that 381 days, look at what they accomplished. And see, that was not some of them did it, part of them did it. Everybody participated in that. It was over 90% participation, damn near 100% participation. And that's what made the change. And see, the thing about it is, in this struggle, there's so many aspects and approaches to this fight. And now with the advent of technology adds even another layer to this fight. See, and it's not, you don't always have to be boots on the ground. Like I tell people, if that's not what you feel and that's not what you would rather do, there are various areas where you can be effective and useful. And one of the most effective things that we can do that is effortless, and I keep on emphasizing this every time I bring it up, because it's effortless. All we got to do is keep our money in our pockets and refuse to do business with these big box stores and these big corporations who refuse to recognize us for who we are and what we bring to the table. Because, see, I was telling some brothers the other day, who do we copy? Who do we imitate? We don't. We create. See, that's powerful in itself. And we don't even think about that power that we possess, because we don't long or yearn to be like anybody. People are always long and yearn to be like us, the original. And see, you have brothers like MLK who came to the forefront, who sacrificed his life just so we could be here right now, living and doing what we're living and doing now, which is the same suffering that they were doing at that time. There's so many things that MLK and so many things that Brother Malcolm, spoke on back in these days. And then there were so many situations that happened that catapulted Malcolm and Martin and all the others back in that, in those days. That and I think really one example, and I think one of the most major examples that really jump-started it, was what happened with Emmett Till. You know, and we all know the story with Emmett Till and what took place. And see, the things, those are the types of things that Malcolm, Martin, and all the others were fighting for. And nothing has changed, because the same thing that happened to Emmett Till and his mother, rest her soul, Queen Mother Mamie Till, had to suffer through the brutality of this devilish country, the terrorism that we have always suffered at the hands of the Caucasian, the racist Caucasian devil, as we all know. And we continue to do that. I often think about a sister that I converse with from time to time through Messenger, and I have invited her onto the show anytime she wants to come. I told her that she's always welcome, but one of our sister warriors from Ferguson in St. Louis, Sister Melissa McKinney, who lost her son, Donye Jones, in the same lynching fashion. And these are the things that, this is why we can't forget. We've got to keep those, as tragic as they are, we have got to keep these types of stories on the forefront, because they're still happening. And I don't know how many of you all are familiar with Sister McKinney's, but her son, young man, Donye Jones, who was found hanged, and this is the thing, lynched in her backyard, found him there. So these are things that we're still dealing with as a people that we are not addressing. See, and it takes courage, like what Martin had. Not in Martin, the nonviolent one. You know, Martin, the one who wants to do it peaceful, but was still hated, because what we don't understand and what we've yet to understand is the language and this country where we are at. And the people that we're dealing with within this country, and we've yet to talk their language. We have yet to address the problem correctly. And I'm not saying that is with violence, but I'm saying be in defense mode, and I'm saying stop being victim. Because, see, there's a lot of people out here who cry victim who have never truly been victimized. And there are many of us within these organizations that I can say, I don't know of any organization that got together with the intent of terrorizing Caucasian people. Not the Muslims, not the Panthers, not any organization. They were organized and put together to protect one another, to watch over the community and make sure that people were not being brutalized when they were being arrested by these police. So, like I say, you have situations like the Emmett Till situation, which was one of the most tragic incidences in American history, and I feel the same with Sister McKinney's and what happened with her and her son, because you have the same mentality, that same terrorizing, hateful, violent, allowed. Allowed, because that's what happened to that young brother. And I believe that was in 2018. But nonetheless, that was an allowed situation, because there were so many. I've listened to that story over and over. The sheep didn't belong to her. There was so much of the evidence that was discarded. Just so many things in that case that says, we all know police involvement, trying to silence people. And see, that's the thing about when you enter this fight. See, they're not mad at you because of what organization you're with or any of that. They're mad at you for two reasons. You're trying to silence them by doing what's right. And not only that, speaking up against the system that was built for them. So, of course, you're going to face resistance. You're going to come up against resistance. But we can't give up. We're not defeated yet. See, that's one thing that I understand now, thanks to one of the queens I had on the show. And every time I think about that talk that we were having, that on that particular broadcast, and I I said, we've got to stop being so fearful. And she said, I really don't think we're fearful. I just think we sometimes feel defeated. And that really has given me a whole new outlook on that, because I understood that as well, you know, just feeling defeated, because no matter what we do, no matter what we build, you know, but we've got blueprints now. And that's another point that I want to make as well. And then I think I'm going to take a break and give other people who have called in an opportunity to speak. But, yeah, we've had blueprints. Brother Martin laid one heck of a blueprint for us on how to fight and use our intellect over our might. Blueprint. Brother Malcolm laid us a blueprint. Brother Mega Evers, Brother Fred Hampton, even Brother Nat Turner, all those, all the sisters, not to discredit the sisters, but all the ancestors who actually put together plans and put in the work and sacrificed their lives, because just speaking against this system puts you in jeopardy. You know, so those are things that we, some of us, take for granted, and then some of us don't take serious. And this is not a plaything. This is a true battle that we are in. We're suffering casualties on a daily basis. I was just before I got on, I was ran across a story. I had saw it a few days ago, and I went back over and read over it. But this is just to my example of, you know, we've got a lot of work to do, and we have got to start being on the defense. We have got to start being more vigilant about protecting ourselves, because in North Carolina on January 3rd of this year, and January 3rd, and mind you, that's during the time that they are deliberating the Ahmaud Arbery case. So in North Carolina, you have a 32-year-old brother, rest his soul, father of three, who is now no longer with us, Army veteran as well, Stephen Addison was the brother's name, 32 years old, who was shot by Roger Dale Nobles Sr., 51-year-old racist. See, this is the kind of racist, redneck hillbillies that we need to address, because see, they talk with Smith and Wesson, and I'm not promoting violence, but I am promoting self-defense. See, and we need to learn that language and be proficient in it as well, because yeah, it was a road rage incident. A young brother, Stephen Addison, was on a motorcycle, and you can see the whole time the argument is going on, because the senior is in the truck. Roger Dale Noble Sr. is in the truck, the one who shot him. Roger Dale Noble Jr., the son, is outside arguing about something. You know how that redneck racist element always wants to tell us what to do, how to do it, and if we ain't moving when and how they want it, they are forceful, fearful. That's when they get that fearful shit going, where they can kill a brother like they did in this instant right here. And just another case of that privilege, another case of that arrogance and entitlement, and the need to feel as if they just got to be in our business. They got to tell us what to do, what not to do. I asked this question the other day to some brothers, why can't they just leave us alone? And I don't understand. That's what I really don't understand about that racist element. You know, they they'll get their just desserts, and the tide is turning. And while the tide is turning, we need to make sure that we elevate it, elevate the waves. And if the tide is going to turn, we need to make a tsunami. We need to make that happen. And I'm just going to say it like this. We need to create a tsunami to wipe out what's in the way. And we got the power to do that. We have the ability to do that. We have the ability to change our conditions without begging this system, consistently begging this system to do it. And the system is not going to give us anything different than what it has given us. And if you were not paying attention, the system gives us nothing. The system gave us the little funky-ass stimulus checks. And I was looking at what other countries were doing for its citizens, and it's ridiculous what this country did compared to other countries. And then this country wants to always act as if it is the moral compass. This country has never shown humility. This country has never shown a righteous side. This country always does what it does best, perpetuates greed and violence and selfishness and all other things that are lopsided, to building and progressing. You know, and then, like I say, instead of this country trying to atone for its sins, keeps on pushing, you know, and keeps on doing things sideways, keeps on doing things that's beneficial to some and not all. And see, that's why this country will never turn into anything more than what it is now, because the foundation is damaged and nobody's trying to repair it. And then the thing about it is, even if repaired, will it be done in an equal manner? You know, and that's the whole thing. Equality, fair treatment for all. Why are they so against equal treatment? Why are they so against, giving us a fair shot, which is something that we've never had, and that's why I always say we got to learn and go ahead and provide that for one another. Let's take 381 days and keep our money to ourselves, and then see what kind of progress we can make for each other. And then we can start funding those businesses that we dream about. And see, we got to start giving our children an opportunity to expand and open their minds, give them the opportunities to have hopes and dreams. Then that's something that's kind of dead right now. We don't know what a hope is, what a dream is, and we've got to give that ability back to our youth and imagine what they will do with it, because we have a weaker, wiser generation, a definitely weaker, wiser generation that needs our direction, just like we had our elders in our lives, and we all had at least two or three elders in our lives besides our mother's dad or close uncles, family members that we could go to and talk to when we were having problems or when we just needed to speak to an adult. We had that. you know. So we have got to give that back to our youth, that sense of security, and give them a sense of direction. We've got to teach them how to fight this fight, not just physically, but intellectually, and in all aspects, spiritually, because it is a war, and we are the targets. Unfortunately, we are the target. So, you know, here we are on MLK Day, another MLK Day, another day, like I say, that we really don't need this country or this system's permission to celebrate. I think we should celebrate all of our ancestors' days, whether they make them national or not. You know, if we start rocking things a little different, and if we start moving a little different and using our numbers and powers to affect things in our favor, we can talk a little more noise than we do and get some things done. But we've got to start moving together. Collectively, and we've got to start moving accordingly and acting accordingly. We can't keep forgiving the unforgivable. The only thing that deserves forgiving is what has asked for atonement, and this system has yet to ask for atonement. Hell, this system has yet to even admit half of the atrocities that is committed and perpetrated against the people. So why do we think that we're going to see any difference unless we force them to show us different? And that's really basically what it boils down to. When I said this, and I want y'all to keep letting this sink in, because there's more power in the people then there are people who are in power. And that's what we got to get a true understanding for as well. There's power in our numbers. And there's power just in our unity, brothers and sisters. That's what we've yet to recognize and realize, and we've never even tapped into it. And here we are, like I say, on an MLK day right after the first of the year, and we still got brothers like Stephen Addison losing their lives, father of three. Like I say, rest his soul, rest his soul. I hope that the Most High grants him favor and peace. But... you know, that's just, that's America. That's America. And that's why we need to remember brothers like Brother Martin. And we can't forget what happened to our soldiers, to our true leaders along the way. You know, and then we still have mothers like Mother Queen Mamie and our sister warrior Melissa McKinney's, who are having to try to normalize lynching, normalize seeing your son murdered. Literally lynched. So this is why I do what I do. This is why I do the podcast. This is why I try to make contact with the brothers and sisters that I'm meeting in these different cities when I'm out traveling, because it's important that we get to know one another. We got to change this, and if we don't, nobody will, because who's trying to help us? And with that being said, I see I'm 40 minutes in. I'm going to throw in a break. I see I do have a couple of callers who are listening. If you are interested in jumping in, I'm going to be opening up the lines. You can press the 1 if you want to speak, and I will see you in the queue after the break, and I'll open up your mic if you want to jump in the conversation. Just really, like I say, talking about MLK, talking about the really didn't dig into it, but we can dig on into it as the conversation progresses, but just the American hypocrisy and how, you know, they really despised MLK, and he was the peaceful one, you know, and like I say, it's not really the fact of how the approach was. It was just the fact that an approach is even attempted, whether it be peaceful or violent or however it be. How dare you Negroes speak up against our perfect system. So that's what it boils down to. But all right, I'm going to take this quick break. I want to thank all of you right now who are listening. Like I say, if you're listening online, want to be a part of it, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. This is the Panther Party Radio Network and the Big Picture. Melvin Seary Jr. We'll be right back after this quick break.
We pattern our lives today after a caveman and after a cave woman that just crawled out of the caves and hills of Europe and walk around today with an attaché case smelling like Pierre Cardin and smelling like Uchi and Coochie and Gucci and all that other stuff. This is a caveman. He spent 2,000 years, she spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of Europe. I'm still talking about the goddamn white man. Spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of where? E-U-R-O-P-E. This man, Elijah Muhammad, right, and this man, Louis Farrakhan, they teach us that EU means caves and hillsides. Europe, Eureka, you've heard the term. EU means caves and hillsides. Rep is self-explanatory. They were roped or bound or confined within the caves and hills of Europe for 2,000 years. And for 2,000 years, this blue-eyed devil crawled around on his all fours. He ate his meat raw. They ate each other even. They ate dogs. They ate anything. They take tree limbs and bust an animal in the head or drop a rock or a boulder on the animal and bust the animal in the head, blood everywhere, all in the mangy, diseased fur of the animal. Drag the animal back to the cave, and the little baby devils, and the medium-sized devils, and the mama devil, and the daddy devil, and the uncle devil, and the auntie devil, and the cousin devil, and the grandma devil, and the grandpa devil, all of them within start biting on the nasty hair and fur of this dead, bloody animal lying right there in the cave. They didn't know anything about fire. Yeah, when they first discovered fire, they damn near ran off the cliff. Gee whiz, gee manini, what is that? Really, they couldn't make any, they couldn't even talk in those days. How many of you saw the movie Quest for Fire? Hold your black hands up. If you saw Quest for Fire. In Quest for Fire, you saw... But they tell you, you were a savage. They want you to believe that you were a savage. They walked around all in ooga booga. They're the ones that put the lie on us. But they were the ones who go, I'm sign language and all kind of stuff. You could always talk. There's never been a time when you couldn't talk, black man. And we know it ain't never been a time when you couldn't talk, black woman.
Sister got something to say. Because she's the first teacher. The children, the babies, they learn the language from her. They don't call it the father tongue. They call it the what? Why they call it the mother tongue instead of the other tongue? They call it the mother tongue because it is mother who fills them with the spirit of life.
It is mother who inspires them, giving them inspiration and information that moves them along the course of life. And so they call it the mother tongue, because the goddess is the one who breathes that life into them. Y'all still with me? We still talking about the goddamn white man.
All right, welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. If you are listening online and would like to join in the conversation, call in number 914-205-538. Also, if you'd like to speak, just press the 1. I'll see you in the queue and I can open up your mics. All right, let's get back into this. MLK Day, like I say, another day that I don't think we need permission to celebrate, partake in. It's one of our birthrights, one of our great leaders who was silenced in a way that many of our great leaders in the past have been, and that's why I just promote leadership across the board as far as black men and black women and just being leaders in our own right, and that keeps them from pinpointing and taking out individuals. If we're all just, you know, at the forefront in our own right and on code collectively with the task and what needs to be done, you know, and I think that it's evident what needs to be done, and it's just getting everyone on the same page, getting everybody moving in the same direction. I think that we've seen enough tragedy, and that's why I think that tide is beginning to turn. Now, just because we get a couple of convictions here and there, it doesn't mean get comfortable. And I think a lot of times, like I say, that's what, you know, tends to happen. We get a conviction here, we get a conviction there, we get comfortable, we get a little bit relaxed, and then we get another circumstance, another incident that happens. And like I say, you know, it's tragic that, you know, in 2018 that we can still be lynched in this country. In 2022, 2021, with the George, I mean, just all the circumstances and situations that we continue to face concerning police brutality, and not only police brutality, just like the case that happened in North Carolina with Brother Steven Addison losing his life, you know, with civilians getting involved in acting. And that's why I say it's important that we're vigilant in our self-defense, and that we are aware of our surroundings. And it's sad that we have to be so on point. But unfortunately, this is America. You know, and we are always the victim. And even when we're the victim, we're the villain. You know, we've had so many instances where black men, just like the situation with Ahmaud Arbery, and we have him in a house that's being built, and anybody who has been in a house being built, you know what I mean, unless you pull up in a pickup truck and you're loading stuff out, there's not very much that you'll be able to take away from a construction site dressed in, you know, Docker shorts and a T-shirt. It's not like you're going to be able to run away with some 2x4s or some power tools without them being seen on your person the way he was dressed. So he was no threat. But here we go. We got, you know, Uncle Bubba and Billy Whitey that got to know what every black person's doing in on the block. He ain't got no business here. That's the thing now. You don't belong here. You know, like it's 1943. And that's what I'm saying. That's why I don't understand these dirt poor racists. And it seems like the poorer they are, the more racist they are. And that goes back to Testament back in Tulsa. You got that jealous element. Oh, let's go back one even further to Slocum. One that happened strictly on we getting ready to just get up this day and take what these niggas got, and that's what they did in Slocum. There was no devil in the blue dress incident that happened in Slocum, Texas. It was just a wake up and we're going to take you got what y'all got, and that's what they did. And that's happened time and time again in this country, and we get nothing in return. Tulsa residents, nothing. The people in Slocum, nothing. You got to fight for the bare minimum, and then the bare minimum is nothing that's beneficial long term. And see, I think that's too, like I say, what really made Brother Martin more dangerous the last, I'll say, year to year and a half is because he started speaking more on an economic level. He started speaking more about the money that was owed to us. See, he started seeing this country in a different light, because it's only so long that you're going to keep getting slapped upside the head for nothing and getting nothing before you change your approach. And I think that's the part that Brother Martin had realized. He had come to that crossroads where he could see that he was dealing with an element unwilling to change. All right, I see I got a caller who wants to comment. Let me get everything situated here. Yeah, but I think that, and that's why I say we have had so many different warriors and leaders with different approaches that are all usable in this fight. All right, welcome caller number 1092. Your mic is open. Thank
Black
you
power.
For calling. Peace, Queen.
How are you? This is Queen Nikki. I just wanted to acknowledge you and speak. I've been listening for a while. You know, I want you to know I was here because I prioritized the day to get on the show for sure. You know,
right.
There's been a lot going on and we've been working on a lot of cases. But, you know, you touched on a lot of powerful stuff and what you're delivering, keep it up, King, keep it up. And it's truth. You know what I'm saying? My show I do on Sunday, I did the other night, and it was basically let the truth be your guide, you know, because a lot of people are confused about which direction to go. They want to do this. They want to do that. But at the end of the day, let the truth be your guide, because you know what's wrong and you know what's right. We all at that point, and we're in a mess. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things going on when it comes to the police killings and stuff, I feel like, you know, we're kind of being set up on that. you know, because there are a lot of us walking around with guns and stuff, and I'm kind of wondering if it's to pull us out to do something very just as violent, you know, to affect all of us. You know, that's why, you know, I talk to my members and stuff in my party and let them know, like, you know, our moves can affect the whole community too. You know, so we have to really think things out. And the key thing that you said is that no matter what areas and stuff we're working in, like, we really do need to come together. So that way, if we know what's going on and we know who's working on what and we unite it, then we won't have to worry about certain moves being made that affect the whole community because the community will know about it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So you know, it's very important that we do come together because it's a lot going on. You know, we're ready to go into a war, you know, because what's going on? I'm watching the news now with what's going on over there with Russia. I also know we're in a Cold War with China. Now, that I wasn't for sure about. I followed it. Excuse me. I followed it for a minute because I knew about the trade war around the time Obama got up there. But then I watched it go into a Cold War around the time the orange man, what's his name? Trump. got up there.
And the one that everybody want to forget. Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, I have a lot of people that's former military and my family that's retired and stuff, you know, young. And, you know, I have a family member that just refused to live in the United States anymore. He lives in Guam. But he let me know that they're in the red zone. He let me know that that's going on with China is real serious. Like, this could probably jump off into a war. And see, the thing is, when they do these things, don't nobody suffer but the people. You know, they don't go shooting and bringing down the ones that they fighting and arguing with. They go in there and blow up people that got families in their homes and husbands and wives and children. Them are the bodies you see. You hardly ever see, you do see soldiers' bodies, but you see way more civilians than you do soldiers. And, you know, a lot of changes have to happen. You know, because I was thinking where Martin Luther King Jr. was talking about when he was speaking out to the people, but it was also the Vietnam War was taking place and how he said that affected here. And he kind of broke down how that affects here. And I think that's what's going to happen because Trump has a whole movement going on. And we got to realize, too, that this man plans on running again, and I got the strange feeling he's going to get back up in there. Because there's a lot more racism than we let on, you know. It's a lot of our own people that actually support Trump. So, you know, if we get him back up there again and his whole ideology of how he viewed things and with his whole movement going on, it's going to be a mess. So, you know, I'm one of those ones that do always encourage people for a survival message, being that I'm a Panther, and, you know, to store stuff and communicate with each other. You know, to put down the guns on each other because we're going to really, really need to protect each other no matter what, by any means necessary. So I do salute you. I'm not going to take up too much time, but I do salute you in what you're saying, and I'm enjoying the show.
You good, Queen. You are good. You are welcome. Stay on and comment as long as you want. I often think about something that you brought up in, and just our need for each other. And I've really been heavy on that the last year, especially. Just every time I do a live video or anything that I'm doing, I try to make it a point to throw that in there because it's one thing that I saw. And I already knew, you know, but really brought it to the forefront. And I kind of touched on it a minute ago. But when this COVID thing really, you know, hit hard and how the people didn't have anything, you know, and we're going right back into it. I was telling some brothers and sisters even before this little shortage happened because being that I'm a driver, I've saw Chuke for the last 7-8 months just be backhauls that are sitting on these warehouse docks. There's not enough trucks, you know, right now. So this has been something really that started a few years back. But I'm saying that to say this, you know, we need each other. We got to really start doing things that are long-term beneficial. And by that, I mean the building, the brick and mortars, the, like I was talking about earlier with some brothers, you know, we've got to get our young intellectual minds, scientific minds working for things that are best for our bodies, our own labs, hospitals, grocery stores, things of sustenance, because, you know, we're still reliant upon this system. And I just really, the suffering that took place, a lot of it was unnecessary. This system could have done a lot more than it did, but this system wants to always be the, for a country that always wants to be the big moral compass, you know, it never makes to the sacrifices that are beneficial for its people. I was rolling the other day, and I don't carry cash a lot. And this particular day, I didn't have any cash. And if I had, I'd have gave this guy $10, $15. I hate to see these homeless vets out here mm-hmm. who have made the ultimate sacrifice for this country and be on a corner with a sign saying he's a homeless vet, he's hungry, trying to feed his family. Mm-hmm. Nowhere to go. And I think this country fails not only its citizens, but its warrior class, the men and women who, like I say, make the ultimate sacrifice to allow this country to do what it does, which is a bunch of nothing in my book, because I keep saying that this is another thing I keep throwing out. I heard an elder say this a few years back, and it just popped into my head a few weeks ago, that there is more power in the people than there is people in power. And mm-hmm. I think that those are just those small little old things. If we keep saying to each other, we'll subliminally start to live them and start to see them and feel them and can hopefully turn the tide. Because I mean, you know, nobody is for us. And then, like mm-hmm. you were saying, a lot of us are not even for us. And it's scary how many of us are really, I mean, a lot of times when I would see it on YouTube, I would be like, they just doing that shit for attention. But no, the more that I look at some of these brothers and sisters, they are truly supportive of Trump, just like those racist white folks. And that mm-hmm. is a little unnerving. And another thing that you brought up, because I said this the other day too, it's unnerving how, yeah, he could get back in there. And I'm seriously to a point now, because Biden ain't doing nothing. And I asked the question the other day, you know, Chucks and Pearls, it's like she came out and done what she was supposed to do, which was to reel in the black vote. And she did that effectively. And now they just got her on the back burner waiting for the next black situation to come up where they can, you know, use her again. I don't know, just the whole thing now is really, yeah, Trump, I can see him back in office. And if that happens, we really had better be prepared for the worst. And I'm not trying to be a pessimist, but what I see, and I told some brothers and sisters at the beginning of last year, I said, just watch and see as the tide starts to turn, the true character of people are going to start coming to the forefront, and you're seeing just that fearful, anger, violent, terroristic, demonistic side of white people. I mean, they can't stay out of our business. It's like we can't do anything. You know, just like this case with the brother over in North Carolina that got shot. You know, that was crazy. I saw the video, 6 seconds. It's like the young son is standing there talking to the guy. I don't know if you saw the video or not.
Did they run him over
young, I don't, well, no, I know what, when they said when they shot him, because the brother was riding, was actually on a motorcycle, and he's standing there talking to the son, and you could see the son kind of standing to the side, like he knows what's going to happen, but when the shot happens, the son just gets back in the truck, and they both drive off. They drive off from the scene, and just, yeah, so, you know, just
okay,
another one of those.
Do
what now, sister?
Yeah, this might be a different one that I was sent, because what happened was they had ran this brother over, and this is actually recent. I got the information in my inbox, and they sent me the video where they had ran the brother over, and it was the man, and I think he said his wife was in the truck, but he not just only ran him over, he shot him in the back. Three times and killed. Yeah, so they are busy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, because this brother, this one happened on January 3rd, and they actually, he only shot once, shot him right in the chest. And like I say, as soon as he shot him, the son, Roger Dale Nobles Jr., got back in the truck, and they drove off. And he turned himself in later at the police department, the father did. So,
okay.
Yeah, they are very busy. Then I was reading, I want to say it was somewhere upstate where they were shooting guns in the air on New Year's Eve, and the police ran up on this black man's property, and he was standing in the door shooting his rifle in the air, and they shot him in the chest. And
wow.
He died.
Everybody shoots on New Year's. Well, mostly everybody anyway. Wow.
Exactly. And then, too, I'm in agreement with what you said earlier, because here in Texas, you know, they changed the law on September the 1st. Where you no longer needed a license or anything to open carry or anything. And right after that, Greg Abbott signed into legislature where you can now bond out in the state of Texas for felony murder at the discretion of the judge. So that is one of those scenarios I'm feeling like they're setting up for, you know, these old good old boy nights out when they drunk and got their weapons and feel threatened or fearful or whatever it is that they want to say they feel, you know, when they're a group of black men who may be close by, just giving them the ability to, you know, kill and bond out. Because that law is definitely not going to be for black men. Not in Texas. You know, so those are, you know, just the types of things that we got to stay vigilant and really pay attention to, because those are the simplistic things that they try to do to slip under the table, not thinking that, you know, we're paying attention.
Well, you know, see, that's why, you know, being that I'm glad you did a show, you know, for Martin, after Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and for people to really think about what he was fighting against. He was fighting against the filibusters and, you know, mm-hmm. about getting those voting rights. And if it didn't matter, I tried to get our people to understand if our votes didn't matter, they wouldn't be going through all these changes they're going through about the votes, especially if we ain't voting. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It really does matter, and that's what Dr. Martin Luther King was fighting against, you know, along with, you know, the thing that happened with Rosa Parks, what got him started in the first place. But,
right.
you know, the that issue, and see, the strange thing is we're looking at that now because these elections that's coming up is about legislation, and we need to really vote on and get involved with these laws, because if we allow them to take away our voting rights, that's a constitutional right. So there goes your freedom of speech. There goes your right to bear arms. I mean, all this falls under the Constitution. So if they could take away one thing from us, from the Constitution like that, and they're mainly targeting people of color, black people, the issue mm-hmm. is about taking away our votes, our voting rights. If they can take away that, they're going to take away something else too. And I don't know what they're trying to do. If they're trying to ease slavery back in, but our people really, for some reason, are so comfortable with the gadgets and stuff that we have and the advancements that they made with technology that don't nobody believe that we can be pulled back into slavery. Yes, we can, because we haven't completely stepped out of it in the first place. We can see that by the control, by that they don't want us to do nothing. They don't want us to say nothing. Like you said, they always in our business. Everything we do, they got to show up and be there. You know what I'm saying? So that is there. I could actually see it happen. I feel like, you know, the whole coronavirus thing when they had us on lockdown was practice, you know, for martial law. Because if it's worse now than it was then, why ain't that your solution now, especially since it's a new strand? You know what I'm saying? And one thing about the virus mutates. Then they still talking about we haven't even reached the peak point of this virus. So now it's going to be a higher peak point. But at the same time, I've been researching a lot of this. And I have found out that if I was to sit here and I die from a stroke, and because I had the coronavirus and them antibodies are found in my body, they would put that on the virus versus I died from a stroke. So this is something else they're doing too. You know, so the numbers are probably different. But at the same time, we live in a country where they create chaos so we can run to them for help. And we're good at that. You know what I'm saying? We got to stop running to them. We got to start holding them dollars. We got to at least start holding them dollars to see if it makes a difference. Because you can sit back and say it don't make a difference, but have you tried? You know what I'm saying? Nobody's really tried. You know, I stopped going to certain salons and all this stuff because I started seeing stuff happen to sisters in different places like Chicago and stuff like that. But yet at the same time, our sisters still rushing there to get their nails done, their hair done. They buy the hair from them, and they won't buy from their own people. You know what I'm saying? And we have to change that narrative. We really have to change that because I think if once we do and we pull our money back that we're working so hard for, you know what I'm saying? I think that will make a difference. You know, the nonviolent thing, we try the nonviolent thing. We don't give them no peace, though. No justice, no peace.
Exactly.
But at the same time, when they start losing people like we're losing people, I'm pretty sure it'll be a difference. I'm pretty sure it'll be a difference.
Definitely.
And I get
that. Yes. That will make all the difference, you know. I mean, like the old folks used to say, you know, it ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun, you know. And nobody likes to taste their own medicine. We all know castor oil it'll help you heal, but we all know it don't taste good either, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's why I always say, I try to say it slick where, you know, but we all know the language of the devil or this beast. And we gotta speak it, and I'm not like I say, I don't promote it, but I do promote self-defense because we have been a defenseless people for 400 years, and let's just be real.
nothing in this country is catered, you know, for the black man and the black woman. Anything that has happened for us, for good, we've made happen, only to have it taken away, you know, in our naivety, in our ancestors' naive state, thinking that, hey, all we have to do is obtain this, and once we obtain this, we'll be okay. They'll leave us alone. Not the case, because what they couldn't obtain themselves, they just would take from those who were defenseless, you know. And I dare any Negro stand up. And that's another thing the system done, because, see, in the beginning, they noticed how poor white people were latching on to black people. And that, then, you know, that's when they went back and at least gave poor white people, you know, power over us as well. Because there were a few uprisings that I read about where white people, poor white people, were actually helping black people fight back then, because of that rich class. And that's when they kind of made it more racism than classism, you know. And that's why you got to be able to decipher the two as well, because they both play really hand in hand. But I agree with what you said, because, yeah, I think our dollars are definitely our power. And I don't really like to preach economics, because I know how hard it is for us to part with our dollars, because it's so hard for us to obtain them, you know. Mm-hmm. So parting with them, I understand the rift, but being too, we, and especially most of us in this generation, you know, we've never really put our dollars to work for us. We're a go-buy-me generation as opposed to stack and help, because, like I always say, we can reparate ourselves, and I'm not discounting what this system owes us, because this system does owe our communities tremendously. I mean, I really don't get all the H-20, HR-24 talk and all the reparation talks. I mean, it's just like, what the hell have y'all been looking at that we missed? And what is there really to sit down and talk about? The world knows who built America. But you mean to tell me y'all over here in America don't? You know, it's just amazing how blind they can be and trying not to recognize why this country exists, you know. And like I say, just those types of mental games that they, you know, I mean, like I was telling me and an elder were talking earlier today, and I was like, it's so funny how they have given us their characteristics and they've convinced the world that we're them, you know, because everything they say that we are, they actually, you know, that's them to a T. And then, you know, they try to portray as if they are the so righteous of a people. You know, that's crazy to me. And, I mean, you know, and the world falls for it, you know, continues to be under that spell, you know. But I think there is a turning of the tide happening. I wish it was happening faster. You know, that's the only thing. I just wish that I could, some days I wish I could wake up and after my meditation, I'd be like, I just wish I could, you know, like Most High would drop it for me and I could just snap my thing and say it and put it out there and like, oh yeah, this is the formula, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wish.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I
and you
really
know what
thought
the thing about
after,
the,
go ahead.
what you were saying about, you know, the poor white people, you know, that was done too before. You know, the first time they've ever seen it actually done was when Chairman Fred Hampton did it with the Rainbow Coalition, which, you know, was a coalition of activists and stuff. But the Young Patriots, they were largely white migrants from Appalachia. So they moved into Chicago, and they worked with them along with the Young Lords, which they were Puerto Rican group. And that's when they started having a problem with Fred Hampton, because the Chairman Fred Hampton, because the fact that he was able to get them to go to come together, and he would help them get their protests together, and the Panthers would help them, and they would help the Panthers, and everybody started working together in coalition with each other. And, you know, I could see that being done, but at the same time, at this point, because we're the main target, we have to work together. You know, and we have so many that's on the inside, just basically like we're on a ship, and they're in the back of the ship punching holes in the ship like they're not on the ship too. Because if it sinks, you sink. And I think that's what our people don't understand. Like, as it sinks, you're going down with it too. Even though some you might have a friend or two that's smiling at you, one thing about I've learned about white people and living down here around a lot of them in Kentucky is they will smile at you, and a lot of times they'll tell you straight to your face, because a couple of doors down from me is some Proud Boys, some of the ones that ran up there in that Capitol. I knew about that, but I didn't know what it was the day before. You know, I was just warned, you might want to keep your guns close and all this other stuff, because the one little white man got a crush on me. And he was kind of, but I'm like, what is he talking about? But then the next thing I know, they ran up in there, but then he started talking about the ones who they went ahead, and they was able to go straight and get them out of jail. Like, a lot of them did go to jail. They let them out of jail. Now, you know they not ready to do that with black people, and I know for a fact this is what they done. Like, not word, hearsay, nothing. These people live next door to me. And it's right. Like, the way they are, and they're just open, like they straight forward, like they don't care if you know they're racist no more. You know, they don't care about that. Now, they deal with black women differently, because, you know, they used to rape black women and all this other stuff. That's why I keep my eyes on them, and I got security cameras and stuff up now. But, you know, but they're so straightforward with it, and Trump just snatched everybody's sheet off, you know, and I appreciate that, because we needed to know that this was around us. But at the same time, I was expecting a different reaction from our people once they found out the truth of what's really going on. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And also I want to throw out there, I hate to be a bearer of bad news of all the terrible stuff that's happening to us, but I want to throw this out there so people can realize, like, this is so serious, because even with our children, they are legally kidnapping our children. CPS has a $1 billion industry going on, and they are selling our children like they're on auction blocks. Like, if they keep them so long, they have the option to put them up for adoption. And we're dealing with a case where the parents did not, they proved that the parents did not abuse these children. It turned out they had a medical problem, vitamin D deficiency. It should have made sense to, didn't have made sense to them. I can understand them opening the case when the kids went in there with 30 broken bones and the twins. They were infants. They had 30 broken bones, each one in their body. And some of them had healed over and so forth. But they didn't have no internal bleeding, nor did they have any bruising. But the way they found out about the broken bones is because the parents kept taking the kids to the doctor, trying to figure out what's going on. You know, something is wrong. Mm-hmm. My daughter's crying when I pick her up. You know, something's going on. So what was happening is their bones was breaking from just being touched, from being held. So once they found out, they brought experts in that was in other states and other countries, came in and verified what that's called. You know, they try to say it was rickets and stuff at first, but they verified what that's called and what it is. And it was verified here in the United States of what it is. They, brother, don't you know they still won't give these people their kids back? They still will not give these people their kids back. And we're fighting so hard, and it's like they're taking personal stuff. We protest and got out there, and the judge said, he won't be bullied. One judge said send the kids home. Another judge, the magistrate, the judge came in and said, and then when he said send them home, I'm sitting right in the courtroom watching all this. CPS said no, and that was just it. And we like, what? How did they get the power over the magistrate to even say that. He has no proof of neglect or abuse. They say no. Then a judge comes in, another one comes in and stands it. He stays with CPS. It is all about the money. It's all about the money because there's no reason for them to have these children, and it's considered legal kidnapping. And what they're doing is they're taking a lot of the infants. We have a case here in Kentucky. They took her infant from the time she left out. The child was only 2 days old from the time she left out the door. Like, a lot of this is, so they're taking our children, and a lot of us are not paying attention to that because we assume that if CPS comes in, the parents did something wrong. Well, parents are starting to speak out now. We're able to get in their case. We're able to look at the documents. We're able to, you know, file motions and stuff like that and know for a fact that these parents are not doing that. But I'm just surprised a lot of people is not getting on that. You know what I'm saying? Even if your kids are grown, you might have grandbabies, but they're making money off of them. They get so much money off of them, they have to have a base amount. And it's like they're making up for COVID when we was all locked down. So now they're taking all these black children. It's like, now when is that? Don't that sound like the auction block? Because they did that then with the black children. Mm-hmm. They sold them off. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're doing now. And they're not putting them with black families. They're putting them with white families. So we got problems.
Exactly.
We don't have one problem. Yeah. We have many problems.
Yeah. Wow. Now, you say that they came in and the baby was only a couple of days old. What was their reason? I mean, what was the reason for them taking that baby? They can just come up with anything, though, you know?
Yeah.
That's the sad thing.
And it's what you said. It's their emotions. It's their, because if you probably, many probably have seen it, you know, and some of your listeners have probably seen it, but her video actually went viral. She was the mother that was coming out of the hospital room in Kentucky, in Lexington, Kentucky, and they were waiting for her. I have her case. And the thing was is that a caseworker had came in there and said something to her, and she didn't like how she responded to her. These are not reasons to take people's children. Because black people are strong-willed people, and you just don't come in there and tell them what to do with their babies. You know what I'm saying? Because she had some socks on the baby. The baby's feet was cold to her. And at this point, you know, mothers, we be wanting to dress them up, and we all excited. And it's almost like having a doll baby but not being a doll baby. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, this is an excited mother that planned for this child. You know, when you went to her home, it was so much stuff in her home for this child. But because she didn't respond to her the way she wanted her to, she's the one that had the police and all of them come there, and then they actually put her in jail. They put her in jail for that. Yep, they sure did.
I did see that video. I did. Matter of fact, it may have been about a week or so ago. I had gotten on YouTube, and I did see that video because, they just came in the hospital, and this was – yeah, I remember seeing that video and took that lady's baby and
her.
Oh, then you say they arrested her.
For disorderly conduct. You're trying to snatch her baby out of her arms, and the baby didn't have no drugs in her system. She didn't have no, and she's saying this. I didn't have no drugs in my system. The baby didn't have no drugs in it. They both were healthy. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you snatching around a mom. They could have hemorrhaged to death. They could have started, because when you have your babies, you're bleeding for a while. She could have hemorrhaged to death. She just had a child. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you're snatching her around with this baby, and then you put her in jail for disorderly conduct. It's like what they're doing is just so unjust, and we're doing nothing. Yeah. We're doing nothing because it's not us. It's a matter of time before it be one of us. And we don't want people to be in a situation where they turned away and they turned a blind eye, but then at the same time they turn around and then they're calling on us to come and help. Because it's a matter of time. It's random. It's random, and then it's old cases. Now, she did have an old case when she was a minor. Now, keep in mind this is a minor. Now, First of all, when somebody is 16 years old, you can't come into their life when they're 30-something years old, going to 40-something, and then had a baby because you done checked something out. See, and that's part of their process. I have two of my sister queens that's in my party. They're actually former caseworkers. So I've been bringing in more people that have the skills and know familiar with some of these things that's going on. And, you know, they got the Operation Stop CPS. And the first thing that they do, though, is before they even come and approach you, they look to see if you've ever been involved with CPS before. They look to see if you've been involved with them before. And even if you was a minor, they still, because like the one sister, Miss Brown in North Carolina, they going at this. Uh-huh. This woman, she was born in a prison. Her mom had problems with CPS, and she was herself was born in a prison. But that's what they said what her problem was, generational curse. What the hell is that? That is not on no books. That's not in no law. Like what?
Just one of those
ladies. They make up stuff.
It's
crazy.
Just you know what? And it's funny, I mean, that you say that because, see, that's just like I was telling some young brothers and sisters. I said, whatever you do, do it better than your peers. And I see your white peers, because you're going to always be under a telescope, and they're looking to give you that label, any type of label. And the younger they can give it to you, the better. You know, and and that's why I be preaching too about, you know, our own schools so we can get our kids. I watched a video the other day where this teacher, I want to say it was in Kentucky, this teacher was wrestling with a student. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and look. It was, the student, he was a small fella too, and this teacher was, he looked every bit of about probably 230, and he just had his whole weight on this kid, you know, and the kid looked like he might have weighed about 140. But nonetheless, you know, grown white racist teacher who, like most, and that's something else I want to kind of bring up too, because I think that's another big part of the issue with these police killings especially, and even in some of these civilian cases, because just like with this teacher, they say that that's not the first incident that he's had that was racial. But a lot of these policemen are on this racial thing, and I think that it's a lot of to do with initiations within these neo-Nazi groups, which we all know have been, you know, infiltrating these police departments and sheriff departments nationally. And I don't know, I don't know. When it comes to these policemen, this is why I'm like on the defund the police and do away with that qualified immunity, because it emboldens, you know, there's no consequence for them. Now, we're getting a few convictions here and there, but they're so few and far in between, you know. And then too, just like with the case with Amber Geiger, and I just had went back and read a few weeks ago where they finally did deny her second appeal, but they have no true remorse for killing a black man. Just like you look at that lady in the Dante Wright case, that cop, that killer, and she swore that she was grabbing her taser. No, you know the weight difference. You're a 20-year veteran, and I feel like, you know, is
because that's their word is, oh, I feared for my life. I feared for that officer's life. And that's all they have to say to justify it. You know, and it's just so easy for them to justify the senseless killings of our people, you know. I mean, and I'm not saying that white people don't die at the hands of police either, but it's not as big of a problem for them as it is for us. And just like you said earlier, until they start having to worry about they Billy and June coming home, making it home off the block, because, you know, ain't nobody out there hunting Billy and June like they hunting Jamal and Shaniqua, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We know how to go on about our business. And then, too, we live in a country where we know that if we mess up, there's a consequence for us. And, see, that's the thing. White people don't want to recognize, don't want to own. They'll own that other shit, but the shit they supposed to own, they be trying to put that off on everybody else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just aggravating because how do you not, you know, I mean, like I say, it's to me just how things are supposed to be. And sometimes I know, okay, this is like how the natural order, at least for now, until we rise up. And I feel like I say, yeah, it's slowly happening. I was talking to, I met a Nigerian brother a few months ago, and we still converse. And that's what he was telling me. He said that a lot of people over there in his village, and they listen now, but he was saying how a lot of them over there are waiting on us. And I said, well, see, that's maybe the problem, just that cut in communication, because I do believe that we could be beneficial to one another if we start working together, because I think that's really what scares this system the most. Because if we were to take our intellect and everything that we have, you know, and put it with the resources of the brothers and sisters over there, you know, yeah, I think we could be a very dangerous and helpful, you know, to one another as well, because we'd have resources to back our, just like what Gaddafi was trying to do over there, you know, that they cut, that Obama killed. But had he been able to get that coin in circulation, yeah, and backing it with the resources of Africa, that would have shut down the world's economy, because nobody else, you know, can back their, would have had that ability to back their money, you know, with that type of resource. So, you know, it's about economics, you know, in a capitalistic, greedy world where everybody wants power, you know, and nobody's willing to share it because of the fear of what will happen to them if they ever lose power. And my thing is, they just better get ready to lose power, because that's coming. You know,
mm-hmm.
We just got to get prepared to take power, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then not be like those that, you know, we have saw, you know, be fair in our treatment to those who deserve it. And some will not. And I'm ready to be a tool for those who will not.
Right. Right. Well, you know, those differences in laws that you talk about, there's in the treatment when it comes to the law. Well, first of all, that's why I have a problem with slavery being on the books anywhere, even though it's mm-hmm. only mentioned in jail, you know, when you go to jail. But still, it shouldn't be on the books nowhere, because it goes to show that a lot of stuff is still on the books. Because that black code on 1865, right before they when they were starting to do the Constitution and all this old stuff, and giving supposed to be giving out rights. Right before that, they said, this is their exact words, there is such a radical difference in the mental and the moral nature of the white and black race that it would be impossible to secure order in a mixed community by the same law. So they don't have us under the same law. We think we're under the same laws, but we're under the black code of the law. And that we have to change, because the actions and the behavior is proven that we're still under a different law. Somebody can go into jail for marijuana and spend 30 years, yet somebody white can go in for murder and come out in 5. I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. That don't make no sense to me. You know what I'm saying? And yet at the same time, if marijuana is legal anywhere in this country, nobody should be sitting in jail for it. Nobody.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, because you legalize it. Now y'all trafficking. So now the government's trafficking. You know what I'm saying? Drug trafficking. So, I mean, it's a mess, and it's unjust. But they know that by nature that we're different from them. They know that mentally we're different from them. And it's like they don't put us under the same law. And that's in their own statements. You can find that statement yourself. For those who listen, don't take the word for it, look it up. In 1865, the Black Code, right before they were working on the Constitution, that's what they put in place. So we're under a different law. And it's time we change that. And not at least not let them take what little bit we have. You know what I'm saying, as far as our right to vote and stuff and make noise, because I'm just afraid that they're going to touch in on our freedom of speech and then on our right to bear arms. And slavery is not acceptable to me. I ain't going to be no slave. I can't do it.
No. I'm going to be an example. I'm not going back to that myself. And that's the thing, you know, they want to take that right for us to bear arms, especially, you know, because I say this, I used to say this back in the day, a defenseless people become an extinct people, and that's the end goal with them. Mm-hmm. They want us not here anymore, and no matter what they do, we'll be here. They just don't understand that. And then too, I feel like we don't understand it, and like I was saying earlier, you know, we really need to grasp a hold of that, because, you know, the first shall be last shall be first. Okay, that's us. Mm-hmm. You know, we are, you know, the ones who have really bared the brunt for everybody to get a piece of the pie. Because nobody would have a piece of the pie had it not been for the suffering of our ancestors. You know, I mean, everybody has benefited from our blood, sweat, and tears. You know, the Hispanics, the Asians, the you name it. They get more of it than we do, and especially the white woman. You know, she benefits from it more than any ethnicity. You know, like you were saying, you know, so many of these old laws still being on the books, you know, that really need to be revisited, you know, just a lot here in this country, period, that's, you know, just, time for change, you know what I mean? Every great thing falls, and I'm not even saying that this country was ever great. You know, I will say it was a nice existence for those who it was meant to be beneficial to, you know, but it hasn't been a great. Right.
And we know what that means. Black folks know exactly what that means.
Exactly. Exactly, you know. So, you know, like I say, I think that it's the awakening is happening, and I think that we are becoming stronger.
I feel like we are becoming a little more unified than we were a couple of years ago. And I think, too, that I think that the corona and the being kind of secluded, you know, and not being able to do what we normally would be doing the last couple of years, I think that that seclusion and that solitude that we got away from others kind of woke us up a little more as well. You know what I mean? Not really having that day-to-day camaraderie for those few months that we had interacting with others outside, you know, immediate family and all. Just, you know, allowed us to kind of, I don't know, self-bond a little more and kind of really gather our thoughts a little bit as well. You know, just was kind of somewhat like a break from the monotony, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then kind of the opportunity to look at the fact that they had locked the country down. Like, they have the powers to lock the country down. They got us all on house arrest. So,
that's what it was. Yeah.
They locked the whole country down, and the ones that got the maddest was white folks.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, couldn't stand having just a little slight freedom taken away. And I'm just thinking, like, yeah, they sure couldn't be us for real. Not full time. They wouldn't last 6 months. Yeah.
They came out mad. They started doing protests, talking about they ain't wearing no mask no more. I mean, they went completely off.
Yeah, they did. They went all the way off. Yeah, and it was funny sitting back watching them because it was just like, I mean, they're acting like they're really having some freedoms taken away from them. And I'm like, it ain't like, you know, they putting y'all in one certain part of town or, you know, keeping you from drinking out of the water fountains or using the bathroom. It's just put on a mask. You know, so yeah, their coping skills are, you know, they need a lot of to say the least.
Not all that good.
Right, exactly.
And they're dangerous. You know, we have to look at too. I mean, if we don't believe. Or if it's somebody white listening that don't believe, you know, what we're saying. Look at white history. It has always been full of violence, just violence, you know, controlling others, taking from others, killing others, even willing to sacrifice their own for the greater good. That's their own statement.
Right.
They would sacrifice their own for the greater good. And that's just barbaric. It's like the history... whole history is barbaric, you know, and ours is not. You know what I'm saying? We've always been those humble ones. We've always been the submissive ones. But at the same time, they're not pushing, they're controlling the narrative. They're not pushing those things, those situations when we fought back and we won.
Right.
We won. It has the Gullah Wars. We won that. You know what I'm saying? We handed the military, they butt back. You know what I'm saying? So they don't push all those things where we successful at it. They push all those things where it's a bad, sad story and black people get hurt and die through it. That's all they pushing. But there's more to it, and that's why I encourage our people to research our own history, you know, study our own history, because they're going to bury that type of stuff. They're telling you the sad stories to keep you in fear of them. And we shouldn't be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because they're the ones who are afraid. These are the people who panic. When we come together as a unit, it's like somebody got to show up. Like, what? Okay, it's a Negro gathering going on. What they doing? You know what I'm saying? That's where they are the ones who have fear, but their fear is so strong like that because they know they're doing stuff that's just against humanity, period. You know, against nature. You know, you're trying to take our God-given rights from us. You know what I'm saying? Now we don't even breathe fresh air no more. Our water's contaminated. Our food is contaminated. And then most of this contamination stuff, they send in the poor areas. You know, so now it's more of a rich and poor thing going on. But at the same time, the targets are black people, and they're doing a whole bunch of talking about overpopulation on this earth. But yet at the same time, they locked everybody down, and everybody came out with babies. You know what I'm saying? So then you got the corona baby, the COVID baby.
Right.
And then at the same time, you spending time trying to play God, and you're saving babies in the womb when the woman's body is built to automatically abort on its own when there's a problem. But no, they're saving them, and they're going in, and they're doing stuff. But you're talking about overpopulation. I don't understand that. I don't understand that.
That manipulation and fear tactic that, and the thing is, like you were saying, they go against the grain hard. Nature, they go against, and you look at how nature is cutting up. I was telling some brothers at the barbershop the other day, I was like, we having tornadoes in December like it's June. You know, that's abnormal, you know. Volcanoes erupting, and that's what I tell people, too. Don't just pay attention to what's happening in America. Pay attention to what's happening globally because it's all connected. And, you know, we are suffering globally as a people, but we are waking up slowly but surely globally as a people, but we still, like we both said, we both stated it. We got a lot of work to do. And it's the small things that matter because I always tell people, you know, don't ever feel like you don't have anything to contribute because that little piece that you withhold and might be exactly the little piece we need to take two more steps. You know, and them two most steps could be crucial. You know, we don't ever know what steps that we're going to take are going to be the steps that really may be the one that break the ice and get people going in the right direction. And it's really, to me, too, sister, you know, about just trying to keep yourself motivated so you can be a motivator. I was talking to some brothers the other week, and they was like, brother, I just enjoy talking to you because every time I get off the phone with you, I be motivated, I be ready, you know, and that makes me feel good because then I know, well, okay, I'm saying something right, I'm doing something right, and really, that's really the way I try to live because I told some brothers, like, you know how simple it is? All we got to do is what's right. That's all we got to do is the right thing. Treat each other right, love each other right, you know, and things will get right. But we got to make the right steps, you know, and we got to really be as compassionate and, headstrong in that movement as we are for our everyday existence, you know, because honestly, we are each other. You know, I'm your brother, you my sister. We all, you know, have that commonality, that connection that is something, it's just something within us, you know, that connects us. And, you know, we on a different vibration. I say it like that, you know, I just want to see brothers and sisters working together in unison because we powerful together. We need to rebuild our families, I just feel like start from scratch and get it right and keep it right. You know, because when we do things, we master it. You know, we get it right.
We don't know how to do it no other way but the right way. You know, that's just who we are. You know, so I think it's just important that, like I say, we put away a lot of, unlearn a lot of this, what we've been given, and relearn it the right way where it's beneficial and it's going to work for us because, like I say, we created it all. It wouldn't be nothing to function if it, you know, if it wasn't for us.
And we need to stop taking
drinks. But I've got about 5 more minutes, and I'm gonna let you give a plug for your show and everything, Sister Nikki, and make a final comment.
Okay. Well, I do the Black Panther Party Queens live radio show. I don't do the blog talk no more because they don't let my people stay on for some reason. So I don't do that part no more, and we'll be switching to YouTube. But I do want to leave, you know, the people with a message that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said himself. You know, he didn't say this part, but I personally say we have to stop chasing dreams, you know, because according to our laws and Constitution, we all supposed to have the right to life, liberty, and happiness, and we're not getting that. But Dr. Martin Luther King said in his last days that them dreams have become nightmares and that we have a long, long way to go. And he was letting us know then that he had led us into a burning house. Like there's just some things that's just not going to change about these people, you know. So it's really time for us to unite, you know, come together. And like you said, I like what you said, like just let's get a fresh slate. Let's just start. Let's just erase it all and start over with us. You know what I'm saying? And that's not being racist or being mean to white people or nothing like that, unless it's something that needs to be, you know, put in place. But that's a different story. But, you know, just being, learning how to embrace us, you know, and our culture and who we are as a people, because we are the beginning and we will be the end at the end of the day. And I just leave everyone with peace, you know, amongst themselves, you know, and justice. You know, and remember that there's a higher power that's in control, and man will answer for these monstrosities that's upon the land. And I just pray that my people get out of the line of fire of it, but be set to defend themselves at all costs and by any means necessary. And with that, I do leave you with love. I leave you with love, and I thank you for allowing me to get on the show and speak.
Oh, yeah. Anytime, Queen. Anytime, Queen. You know, I used to frequent your show quite a bit on Sundays, and I got back rolling on Sundays. But the last couple of Sundays, I've checked in on your live feed while I was driving. I noticed you back on the Facebook platform. But yeah, you're always welcome. Always welcome. I thank you for joining me. And in closing, I just want to kind of piggyback off of Sister Nikki. You know, we need each other out here, and it's truly time that we start giving each other our proper respect and giving each other the benefit of the doubt, something that we need to really grab back a hold of that the ancestors left us. I feel is our power of unity and realizing our strength through our unity, realizing our true power through our unity, because that's something that we have never truly tapped into as a people, our true power. And there are people right here that know the power we possess and know what we can do. And we should feel that. It should be a vibration within you now, because, like I say, there's something happening right now, and I think a lot of us are starting to feel that vibration, to feel that calling, to feel that yearning and that need for one another. Black man, black woman, we are something special. And Like I always say in closing, let us plan, organize, and unify, because we all have a key. And I love y'all. Thank y'all for listening. This has been the Black Panther Party Radio, the Panther Party Radio Network, excuse me. And this has been The Big Picture with Brother Melvin Sherry Jr. I want to thank my sister Nikki for calling in again, being part of the show. And you are welcome back anytime, sister. Appreciate your knowledge, your information, and your love for the movement. All right, we will see you next Monday, same time, same channel.
Yeah. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, because everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, because ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing sure make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all change. I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they say a picture's worth a thousand words, so when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there balling and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stun. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.